I've got Drew Anderson here with the Narwhal, who just last week put out an in-depth piece on Alberta and how the drought that we're heading into, or that is really going to take shape and impact this summer in Alberta, is truly bigger than really just this one summer itself. And he joins me now live from Calgary here. Good morning, Drew.
Morning.
Oh, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to start by asking if you can sort of paint a picture of the current drought context we're in right now. I think it's not unusual for Calgarians or Albertans to sort of, you know, have a dry summer and some drought, but like where are we kind of today on the spectrum of drought and sort of that, what's that overall context in the province here?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think the official statement would be we're still in stage 4 out of 5 stages of drought severity. I think a more colloquial way of putting it was we should probably all be running around screaming and pulling our hair out. It's an unusual situation. It's very bad this year. And part of what makes it bad is not only that it is very dry, we had a really dry winter, but it's coming off of several dry years heading into that. So not only do we not have the moisture that we would normally have, we don't have the snowpack in the mountains, we also don't have the reserves. So those previous years have sort of dried out our backup systems. The reservoirs are low, practically empty in some spots. The groundwater is at historic lows, and the snow's not on the ground either. So, yeah, it's a really bad year.
It looks like you can even, from some of the photos here, and actually, by the way, always great photos in the Narwhal stories, but particularly this one, really shows some of those landscapes and how they've changed or how they're maybe different right now. Also looks like you can go play bocce in some reservoirs. Would that be accurate?
I think you can probably do that, yeah. So you know, silver lining, I guess.
Is this, like, this is something, if I read correctly, that isn't just new to this year, it's kind of been building for a number of years also, like over the past?
Yeah, that's true. You know, this area is prone to sort of these droughts. We definitely see it. Like, there's boom and bust cycles in our environment, right? I mean, there's sort of like times of plenty and there's times of not. We're certainly in one of those. But what sort of makes this unusual is, you know, we're coming off multiple years of El Nino, which typically has more moisture. So we would have expected to see, you know, greater precipitation in the past few years. But instead, we didn't. We sort of saw, you know, as one expert said, deficit after deficit after deficit. So that time when, you know, the soil would replenish, the groundwater would replenish in a typical cycle, we didn't get that. And now we're into, did I get those reversed? Now we're into La Nina. Hopefully I didn't get those backwards. And, you know, we'd expect it to be drier. We're seeing that. But we just don't have that sort of refresher that we would have expected to have seen in the past. So, you know, this area is prone to droughts and every once in a while, you know, multi-year droughts. But this seems to be a bad one. And what's changed really now is we're not prepared for it from a sort of human preparedness angle. I mean, there's, you know, 4.8 million people now that live in this province. There's oil and gas, there's irrigation, there is all of these draws on our water system. And even before we got into, you know, a situation where we're facing a serious drought, we were pulling more water out of our system than we really had to use. So now it's really time for the issues to come home. And we have to confront those in a serious way.
Mm-hmm. And for a bit of perspective on how, like where that water goes and how it's split, you know, with warnings that the city of Calgary is being a little bit proactive this year and sort of preparing everyone for water conservation and things like that. And when you're wondering if like you might have to be like skipping showers or, you know, who knows what's going to come. But then you also hear about, you know, billions of liters of water going down oil wells for fracking and things. What's that sort of like rough breakup between cities and industry and oil and gas and agriculture? And do we know?
Yeah. Agriculture is the big one. It's interesting that municipalities are, you know, a relative drop in the bucket to that. Irrigated agriculture down in the south. I mean, we basically turned a desert into cropland, and cropland that gets this steady supply of water. And it's by far the biggest user across the province. It's, you know, it's allocated for 1.6 trillion liters each year. So that's a really big one. Oil and gas is, you know, 200 and some odd billion liters a year. What sets that apart is some of that water is just permanently removed from the water cycle. You mentioned fracking. Basically, all of that water is unusable once it's used. It's just permanently removed. Cities are, you know, much lower. I don't actually have the figure in front of me, but it's also noteworthy that they return most of that water, right? I mean, we have really excellent water treatment plants in our municipalities because we live in this dry place that's reliant on these rivers. So they actually put a lot of that water back. But if you're looking at the major user, it is that irrigated land down in southern Alberta. It's turning arid land into, you know, a place where we're growing potatoes and sugar beets. And so, yeah, there's going to be some hard conversations. And since I wrote this story, there have been water sharing agreements that were outlined by the province. They kind of came to these, what they call historic agreements, and it sort of lays out, you know, if they implement this, they're voluntary measures, but it's how people are going to, you know, reduce their water usage and share the water that they're allocated just to make sure that there is enough to go around. So a lot of questions around that, but there are steps being taken to really prepare for, yeah, not being able to have a shower.
And about those, that sort of the government planning that's going on right now and these water sharing agreements. I mean, you even quoted Nigel Banks in your piece, Professor Emeritus at U of C Faculty of Law, who knows a thing or two about environmental law and stuff, and called these, I think, water sharing agreements a bit of a joke or band-aids without any glue. So what happens when, you know, if things are really bad this summer and people do have to start sharing, like, is there really much trust that these plans are actually plans or are going to help?
Well, I mean, that's it, right? I mean, now we're getting into human nature, and we're getting into money, and we're getting into just all those little human foibles. I mean, these are people saying, you know, we will share our water, we will do X, Y, Z. But I guess you have to wait and see, you know, when a severe drought hits and when it's really hitting, you know, the farm or the business or you have to expect that people are going to follow through on that and actually share that stuff. So we'll see, and we'll see if it's enough. Other criticism has been, you know, this should have been done a long time ago. We should be addressing a lot of these serious issues a long time ago and not just, you know, setting up these water sharing agreements, but really taking a hard look at what we're doing. And one thing that I found noteworthy in the announcement of the water sharing agreements is those irrigation districts that are the massive users, they have agreed to cut their allocation significantly. But what they're going to focus on this year, trying to get the most out of the water that they are allocated, is not to grow things like wheat and whatnot and food staples, but to focus on the money crops. So the things that have those value added down in southern Alberta, like potatoes that are then turned into our frozen French fries, and sugar beets, which are then turned into sugar. So they're going to focus on the things that are bringing the money and not necessarily on the things that are growing, you know, that sort of staple food for us to consume.
So potato
and
chips.
It's noteworthy.
Not bread.
Yeah, potato chips, all of those things. And those are water-intensive crops. So they're going away from the things that use less water and they're focusing on using the water that they are getting this year to grow crops that use more water but bring in more money. So I think it's sort of indicative of the culture that we have to sort of confront, especially as the climate crisis, you know, really comes to bear and you know, raises these hard questions about what we're actually doing and why.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of touching on those difficult conversations, I think what we've been mostly speaking about are sort of reactive measures, you know, water conservation, letting certain crops die and others crops grow. But what are some of the solutions that are being talked about for sort of proactively managing water better long term in the province?
Yeah, well, you've got the province talking about building new reservoirs and dams. So that's one thing, but that is, you know, a multi-year process that is fraught with all sorts of questions when it comes to, you know, the environment, when it comes to Indigenous land use, not to mention budgets. You know, these are big and difficult. And also, you know, one could argue that it's just another way to sort of try and work against nature. There are a lot of other solutions that exist out there. And, you know, the government has put some money into this as well. They're pouring some millions into it, or at least looking into it. But, you know, wetlands, protect wetlands and peatlands. Don't dig them up for oil sands mines. Don't clear cut the headwaters. There are all these sort of natural ways that we can sort of ensure that water runoff doesn't just go sliding down a mountain face, and not killing all these wetlands that actually retain moisture in the land, you know, all across the province. You know, we've got a problem right across the prairies of industrial farming that works with large equipment that likes to go in a straight line. So we get rid of the wetlands, we get rid of the brush, we have great big wide open fields, and those things dry out because those natural wetlands that were there are no longer there. And it's all for the efficiency of farming. So I think that there are a lot of ways that, you know, we can work with nature, and this isn't just some sort of hippy dippy thing. This is just the way that it has to work if we're going to try and retain some of this water as we get drier and drier and we have increasing demands on the landscape.
Well, Drew, always great to have you on the show. I want to thank you again today for coming on to speak to us about these dry, dry times.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Once again, I've been speaking with Drew Anderson. He's a Prairies reporter for the Narwhal. You can check out this piece we've been speaking about on the narwhal.ca. A Parched Place, the Alberta Drought Crisis is Bigger Than One Summer. We'll be back with more of the Calgary Almanac after the BBC News here.